Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill It Now. My name is Marcus Bronzy. I'm joined by...
Yeah,
himself, Richie Driss.
I'm sorry, was I supposed to introduce myself?
Yeah.
It's your vehicle, I'm the passenger here.
I like that, man. That's a very nice metaphor there, isn't it?
So, as you mean to go on.
Yeah, man. Let's drive straight into the next part of the show then.
Yeah.
Let's turn into this. No, I'm doing too much now, innit? Were you going, because of the coffee that you just sipped there? Was it a good coffee that you had?
It was a coffee. It's, right. I refer to it as personality juice because, Jesus Christ, I needed it today.
Really?
Yeah, man.
You said you're feeling a little bit run down. Is that because you've been on another holiday?
A thing can be two things at once. So
Here we go, Bill Clinton.
There was work done out there, legitimately. But then also, friends of mine jumped on the bandwagon of me going out there and were like, we're coming with you.
Wicked.
Yeah, some right. Time with mates and some work.
All right, cool. End of clip for HMRC. can we talk about that in the killer bit of the show? Because since you've last come and gone, we've remixed things. Because at the start of the show, we get into our jokes of the week.
You get me?
Are you serious?
Even. So, first joke of the week. I've got a few. You may have a few. How do you want to play? I can just barrage you with a few, Richie, or you can crack on. It feels like the dirtier jokes have been doing quite well recently on the socials.
Sure. Okay, cool. Well, listen, I, by all means, lead the way. You know how I feel about these sorts of jokes. A real genuine personality flaw of mine is I wish I found more things funny.
Yeah.
I wish I could speak as well.
Yeah.
So you lead the way. Get us warmed up and then I'll chip in as
and
when.
All right, cool. I got a few longer ones and some shorter ones then, right?
Cool. Okay. I will say that my 75 inappropriate jokes are from Best Life and there's a picture of a lady winking. So you know they're going to be fucking good.
All right. I've got a few.
Off you go.
So, a mad scientist wants to see what will happen when a human tries to impregnate a gorilla, but no one will volunteer. Finally, he asks Jeff, the laboratory janitor, if he'll have sex with it. Oh, fuck, oh, fucking hell. I can't, 1 second. Let me take a sip of this fucking personality juice. But,
little PJ.
Oh, there we go. Right. A mad scientist wants to see what will happen when a human tries to impregnate a gorilla, but no one will volunteer. Finally, he asks Jeff, the laboratory janitor, if he'll have sex with the same gorilla for $1,000. Jeff's like, all right, I'll do it, but on three conditions. First, the gorilla can't have any STDs. Second, no one ever finds out about this, okay? And third, I'm gonna need a couple of days to come up with that $1,000.
Ah, there it is. Sorry, I was too busy thinking about the order in which his priorities lay. First thing, talking about shagging a gorilla, STIs. That's the first thought.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Not the money needs to be my account.
If I had to undertake that task, I'd be scared for my life. Do you know how strong those fuckers are? Bro, a gorilla could tear you limb from limb. Imagine what they'd do to your bed.
Rip it off and keep it as a trophy.
Exactly. That would just be the warm up. All right, I've got another one for you. I went out and I was playing a round of golf by myself when I hit the ball towards a pond. As I was readied for my next swing, I noticed that a frog was next to my ball. I didn't want to hit it, so I moved it onto a rock. As I was lining up for my shot, I heard the frog croak, 9 iron. Rabbit. I'd been playing horribly so far, so I shrugged and said, what the hell? Pulled out my 9-iron, swung, hit the perfect shot straight into the hole. I grabbed the frog with a smile on my face. That's incredible. You're coming with me. And from then on, I carried this frog with me and it would give me recommendations on which club to use. I played the best games of my life. Afterwards, I grabbed the frog. I said, what else can you do? The frog croaked back at me, Vegas. Thinking it was worth a shot, I bought a ticket and flew out to Vegas with the frog in tow. I went to the biggest casino on the strip with the frog in my pocket. Roulette, the frog croaked. I sat at the roulette table. Two, said the frog. So I bet all my chips on two. Sure enough, the ball landed on two. This continued for a while with the frog correctly guessing every single number. Eventually, the owner caught wind of my winning streak and offered me a free room if I promised not to gamble anymore. You know what I mean? As I sat in the hot tub in my lovely, luxurious room and relaxed, I held the frog in my hands. I said to it, how can I ever repay you? Ribbit, kiss me, ribbit, the frog croaked. I shrugged and thought, well, that's the least I could do. So I kissed the frog, and with a puff of smoke, the frog transformed into a young blonde boy. Your Honor, I swear to you, that's how he ended up in my room that night.
Oh my God.
What a long joke for that, bro.
I know. Do you know what the most entertaining thing about that joke was? Is your impression of a frog.
It's horrible, isn't it?
It was quite, it was all right. It was entertaining. It was more entertaining than the joke itself.
Okay.
Like, that journey was better than the destination.
Burn. All right.
No.
Yeah? Was it good? All right, cool. I'll take that. Right, I've got one more. I'm hoping
go on.
This will get you for a longer joke, right?
All right.
Three guys are stranded on an island full of cannibals. The king of the cannibals says to them, you, go find 10 pieces of the same fruit and come back if you want to live. The first comes back with 10 apples and the king says, shove them up your ass without making a sound or you die. The man grunts in pain by the time he gets to the second apple. And guess what? He gets eaten. The second guy comes back with 10 grapes. The king repeats what he said to the first guy. The first guy cracks on with the first few grapes, but by the time he gets to the ninth, he starts giggling and gets eaten. Guy one and guy two go up to heaven. Guy one says to guy two, how did you lose? You had grapes, my guy. Guy two says, I would have survived, but I saw the third guy coming back with pineapples.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one, all right.
Do you know what I'm thinking to myself? Not that I want to, you know, hijack your whole show, but I'm thinking that it should be more of a competition and we should, like, rate the jokes by beat of laughs.
Okay,
do you know what I mean? Right. Like a three-beat laugh is ha, ha, ha,
ha. Yeah, okay.
Or as opposed to a ha, as opposed to nothing.
And what about a nothing? Should I just play, like, you know, the classic old, yeah, like the dust balls in the desert sound effect?
It's not a very audible thing, though, that, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I do actually have a sound effect to that, of dust balls in the desert with a clock ringing.
Okay.
Went on for ages. Yeah. I think I made a long version of it back in the day in production for Radio 101 Extra, and it was on there for system for ages. Quite a few people used it. Small and nerdy claim to fame. There we go. All right, I got some short ones, Rishi, but I'd like you to come with a few.
Cool, I got a few.
All right.
My penis was in the Guinness Book of World Records, but then the librarian told me to take it out. I can't believe that got anything.
I'm a cheap date.
A good audience.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a pregnant woman and a light bulb? You can unscrew a light bulb.
Wow. This is very true. I like it. Fact.
What do you call a guy who cries when he masturbates? A tearjerker.
That's a good one. I like that.
Okay. What's the difference between kinky and perverted?
I don't know. What is the difference between kinky and perverted?
Kinky is when you tickle your girlfriend with a feather. Perverted is when you use the whole bird.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ. What's the difference between a tire and a 365... Let me start again. What's the difference between a tire and 365 used condoms?
I don't know. What's the difference between a tire and 365 used condoms?
One's a good year, the other's a great year.
Yay! Classic. Listen,
Best Life has sorted me right out. I mean, I say sorted me right out with quantity, maybe not quality of joke.
Yeah, go on, I'll give you one more.
Go on, give us one more. Let me see if I can... I'm going to pick a random number. I'm going to go to 69. Hey-oh. A woman walks out... let me start again. A woman walks out of the produce section with some bad news. She changed a cucumber into a pickle.
Ooh,
that's gross.
Ooh. All right, Richie, I've got a few for you. I think these are of your
caliber.
Your level. Yeah.
Dark, twisted, and sadistic.
Yeah. What does the mafia and a pussy have in common?
I'm assuming you don't mean a cat, do you?
No.
No, okay. Okay.
Pum pum.
Right, sure.
A nani. Yeah.
Right.
One slip of the tongue and you're in deep shit.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I got another one here.
Yeah.
If your friend Jack was stuck on a horse, would you help Jack off a horse?
No. But yes. Do you know what? I'm honestly really taking a look at myself in the mirror at the moment, thinking, why are these making me laugh? What's wrong with me?
All right. I think I'm done for the day. That's it. I'm done. Right, there you go. Those were our jokes of the week. And next up, it's how we've been killing some time, Richie. You've been killing your time in a few ways, haven't you? In fact, you had a product. You've been doing stuff. We're about to do some stuff. We can get into it.
Broad.
Yeah. But let's ungeneralize that and get into what we've been doing. But you had some headphones, right?
I did. Yeah. The Sony H5 headphones that are around here somewhere.
Sorry, I'll go grab them while you fill.
Yeah, so Sony kindly sent us some headphones that I've been using for gaming. In fact, I've been using a couple of different pairs of headphones recently. The Sony ones, as well as a pair of Turtle Beach ones. Now, they are at completely different spectrums with regards to ease of use.
All right, cool.
I will say, first of all. Right. The Sony H5 are plug and play. Mm-hmm. And you can do more if you want. There's a lot of different sort of technical aspects that you can adjust, but I'm a no-nonsense guy.
What were you using them with, by the way?
Xbox/ PS5. Well, these I use on my Xbox and my PS5.
Okay, cool.
And they did exactly what they said they would do.
All right, cool. So do you have to plug a little Bluetooth thing in, or they just connect direct?
Auxiliary.
Oh, so it goes through your control pad.
Yeah.
Into the, okay, cool.
Yeah, but it also came with a USB transceiver as well, which means you can use them wirelessly. But I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't bother, because I'm holding the controller in my hand anyway.
Mm.
So what's a one little wire going to do?
Yeah, I hear that.
I've got the controller in my hand anyway, it doesn't matter for me if they're wireless or not. Yeah. And they were great. They did exactly what, as I said, exactly what you expect them to do. Spatial audio was decent, and my test for spatial audio is always Warzone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the fact that I can hear someone upstairs walking around to my left, upstairs to my left, is like...
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. It's almost like a cheat code, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're like Sony cans, they are Sony headphones, so I presume that they'd work well with a PlayStation. Do you know what I mean? Like, just because they're the same family.
I didn't notice any difference as far as quality between using it on the Xbox or using it on the PlayStation.
Fair enough.
What I will say is that, you know, they are the very, I guess, minimum that I would want. In terms of, there was no frills necessarily, or at least I didn't bother with the frills,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the Turtle Beach headphones, for example. Yeah. That, well, I can see a pair on your desk.
They're my go-to cans. I'm not even joking. I'm not even lying. Yeah, go on.
Do you know what? They are brilliant.
Yeah.
Comfort, ridiculous. Like the cans themselves are so big. Mm. That they just envelope your ears in cushioned, beautiful goodness.
And you know, you can wear them with glasses as well. Like all Turtle Beach have that little ridge in them. That you can kind of slide your glasses in, which I just like that.
Do you know what? For glasses, as someone who is now using glasses since we saw each other last, I welcome that as well.
Were you not wearing glasses?
No, I've got the glasses a couple of months ago.
Can we talk about that then? Like, where is your eyesight at? How bad was it?
It's not that bad. It's more for screens and driving at night. It was driving at night in the rain specifically, where I was like, oh, my eyes are not good, or at least I don't feel like they're good.
And like, what are the numbers? Because it's like, because I wouldn't know, because I'm like 21-21 with my vision, innit? Like 22-22. What are you like?
I don't know. Sorry.
Eight or a... You know, they give you like a little, like you're an 18 or a -4 or whatever.
No, they're not that bad.
Like, can I have a look through them?
Have a look through them.
I'm one of those glasses dickheads, innit? Like, can I have a go on your glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see into the future. Oh, these look nice.
I can see into the future.
I thought you were wearing these for straight fashion because of how...
cool I am.
Yeah, you're no, quite a trendy because, guy.
Well, yeah, but if you
I feel like a mixed race super Clark Kent. Come on. Yes. If you're looking at the YouTube video, I just want to say, okay.
So the fact that you thought I wore them for fashion.
Yeah. I swear down.
Were you judging me?
Nah, because you're kind of like, I've noticed this about you, you know.
Yeah,
there's always a little bit of swag going on. Like, I thought it was just the BP wardrobe, but Richie's out here just, you know.
To a point, though. I'm not going to wear glasses if I don't need glasses.
You dress well, bro. You dress well.
Thank you. But no, they're necessary. But yeah, the Turtle Beach headphones are the polar opposite in that, for me, they were almost doing... They're brilliant once you get them up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, like faultless. But they were doing too much for me. I want a pair of headphones that you can plug into your control, and this is personal preference, plug in your control and away you go. The fact that you can use your phone at the same time... I'm gaming. I don't want to talk to anyone on the phone. I know you're the opposite, but I don't need to be talking to someone on the phone when I'm gaming.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I came across that by accident because I like connected my phone to it to like mess around with all the advanced settings.
Well, you need to.
You need
to connect your phone to it. You need to download an app.
Update the firmware.
I don't care about all that sort of stuff. I want good audio quality. Yeah. That's it. My favourite thing about them, though, is the little earpiece that pops down like your Captain Scarlet and you can speak into it. And then to mute yourself, you just flip it up into the cup again.
Yeah.
That's my favourite thing about it.
You can half flip it to mute as well. So it's still out, but it's like half, half clicks. So you can flip it up like halfway. So it's just there for you to flick down if you need to. So if you need to like cough, flick it up.
You don't need to dig your finger into the cup to then drag it out. I that's brilliant. But it was for me, very extra in terms of having to, it took me a while to get it working. Once it works, brilliant. And also, it wasn't easy for me to transfer over to my Xbox. I started and I just gave up and I just use it on my PS5.
Yeah, they say that they each come with like a specific console use generally, but I feel like they can just plug into both because it's a USB... and a thing.
If you're a big time gamer, you're not going to buy three different I'd like to think you wouldn't buy three different headsets. Like you want one that you can just transfer across to all of them. So give me an auxiliary cable. Give me an auxiliary cable. But if you've only got a PS5 and you want one pair of headphones that you, once you do set it up, you never have to think about again, they are brilliant.
Yeah, they're my go-to. I think the only thing that could take me away from those is if they made an in-ear version to kind of match the PlayStation Pulse in-ear headphones that we need to try out as well. Actually, I need to shout out PlayStation to give a go. But I kind of like, because Richie, I kind of like the fact that I can connect my phone to it. Like I've finished gaming, left them on, had a chat on my phone. I think I've spoken to you with them on, had a chat with them on, left them on for half the day, had them on for a Zoom call. They're just like everything headphones now.
Yeah.
Like
or
it.
Just take them off.
Just
take them off and put them on on loudspeaker or.
Plus, I'll be real with you, bro. Like, I'm snacking a lot at the moment. So, the less wire, if there's no wires around me, I can just be my belly and the packet of Doritos.
How clumsy are you that one wire is going to get in the way of you snacking?
Before we started the show, I gave you a charger to plug in your phone and I tripped over it just after I gave it to you. That's how clumsy I am, bro. So, I guess with each of the headphones, so it was the Sony H5 InZones, which are about £129. Brand new, £139 places somewhere, and it was a Turtle Beach. I should know this actually because I've got a Turtle Beach. Where are they? The Stealth. Gen 2 Stealth, that's it. Stealth 600s, were they?
We can edit this later, or 700.
Is it 700?
Maybe even 750.
I'll know when I see a picture of them because I can't remember, but I'll have a look for you now.
I mean, they're sat right there in front of us and we both got them.
700 Gen 2s, they're 120. They're down from 150 to 120 quid as well at the moment. So they're both the same price.
That's crazy.
And you can use them both. You can use the Sony ones without plugging them in to your controller. If you had to pick a pair, both for the same cost, I feel like you'll go Sony and I'll go Turtle Beach.
I that's a difficult one because I do think the sound quality on the Turtle Beach is better, but maybe that's because the cup is bigger.
Yeah, they're massive.
And I can't hear anything apart from what's going on in the game.
Yeah.
But they are finicky and I can't use it across all of my consoles easily. It's a tough one, to be honest. I couldn't pick it. It's personal preference.
Yeah. So you're going to go Sony and I'm going to stay Turtle Beach for now, man.
Okay.
I think. All right. Fair enough. How else have you been killing time, bro?
Oh, man. I've been playing a lot of games, doing a lot of gaming.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of telly. I've been doing a lot of traveling.
Sorry, we're going to talk about your work trip, isn't it?
Yeah, we have to. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
But Richie met Richard, though. I saw that on your Instagram.
I did. Richie just met Richard Bacon, icon of television. He is.
Yeah.
And he's a lovely bloke, and he invited me to his home for a good chat. Yeah. And it was good to actually meet him.
Did you have a Hollywood coffee over there?
What's the difference between a Hollywood coffee and a regular coffee?
But I'm just...
it's more expensive.
Yeah, I'm really fucking around. But like, man, he seems like he's doing all right, isn't he? Is he like a TV producer extraordinaire now?
Genuinely, I think out of all of the Blue Peter presenters that have come and gone, his is one of the ones that I look up to the most in terms of career trajectory.
Yeah.
I think he's done amazingly well. Like he went out to the US, sold a load of game shows, interviewed Obama when he was still in presidency, had his own shows for National Geographic. He's done amazing, amazing things, especially with Well, we all know how he left Blue Peter. We all know that.
Well, I think there's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah, so do I. And I immediately messaged my agent saying, right, I'm going to set
that.
Up.
Should have set up a scandal.
Set up a little photo shoot.
Yeah.
It worked for him, that's
for sure. Yeah, he smashed it.
So yeah, went out there. That was great. I've been, as I say, doing a lot of gaming from Deathloop to South Park with Stick of Truth.
I've always wanted to. That's been one of my haven't played it yet games. Because is it a turn-based game?
Marcus.
Yeah,
I have never played a computer game like that in terms of it being turn-based RPG.
Yeah,
like the RPGs that I play are like immersive sims, like maybe Deathloop, for example, where you can rank up and stuff like that. So maybe not full RPG. Last time I played an RPG like this, I think it was Baldur's Gate 2.
Back
in the day,
way back.
This game is great. It has no right to be as good as it is.
Really,
and the fact that it's not my sort of game, like turn-based fighting, is just not for me. Like I've never played a Final Fantasy game, so they're turn-based.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
they're not for me.
Well, they work. Sorry, just for the Final Fantasy fans, are like, well, not actually all of them now. Yeah. There's some games that step out of that. Cool, whatever. Yeah, cool,
right.
Yeah,
Karen, like Seven, which is the first big one. Big one. That was turn-based. Right. Never played it. This really, really good.
For real.
Yeah.
Because obviously the guys write absolutely wild storyline, so the first thing you want to think is like, does that translate to the game?
It's like playing an interactive feature length episode of South Park.
Fuck.
And there is some wildness in it.
Yeah.
And in fact, the version that I play, which is the European version, they literally have screens saying, if you are in Europe, which clearly you are, you've got a very edited version of this game, because in this scene Cartman gets an anal probe, blah 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 blah.
So they cut bits out.
Bits out.
Okay, wow. And is this one, I don't know if you know this, because there's a couple of RPGs that they brought out, and the second one, I don't know which, is the Stick of Truth the second one or the first one?
This is the Stick of Truth, which was the first one, which is basically ripping on Lord of the Rings.
That's it, yeah.
It starts that way, but South Park being South Park, it goes into all sorts of different territories. And then the second one, The Fractured But Whole.
That's it, yeah.
Great name. Is more riffing on like MCU, Marvel.
All right, cool.
Yeah, which I haven't played yet, but apparently.
Do you reckon you'll end up there?
Yeah.
Seriously?
They're great. The thing is, though, is that I don't know about you, I think I might have mentioned this on the pod before. I have sort of different games for different times. Like, I'll have a daytime game, which is like kick back for like half an hour during my lunch break and relax and like whatever, like FIFA, Forza, for example. And then I have an evening game where it's like a little bit more in depth, like The Last of Us or Deathloop, for example, where there's a storyline to it as well. This was good for both. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could kick back during the day and like sort of take part in this episode of South Park for a little bit, or I could play it in the evening and like get a little bit more immersed. It has no right to be that good.
Sick. I think Trey and Matt, like, they flipping their writing is out of this world, man, because I've failed to find stuff that they put out, apart from their movies are a bit right, but like I failed to find stuff they put out nowadays that isn't flipping really well written
and still relevant.
Some of
it's still relevant.
Like, to step away from gaming, Book of Mormon, wild.
So good though,
and the production value on it is 10-10. And also with their game, from what you're saying, it's like they've achieved, it's not like lacking. Usually a lot of the time when you get TV shows that cross over into gaming, that you lose something, but you're saying that this is literally, you're playing South Park.
And the fact that it being South Park, it's self-aware enough to know that because you create a version of yourself in it, if you want, it riffs off that as well. And it takes the piss out of RPG elements. Blah, blah, blah.
Is that where they have the difficulty meet with a skin tone in it? Or is that the fracture?
I think that's a sequel. It's not a sequel. But again,
apparently it makes
idea.
A difference to the game. Apparently, if whatever you pick, If you pick someone of a darker hue, you end up with a different game path than if you pick someone who's lighter.
And that's mad.
It's great. I think it's smart. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. You can't laugh at that then.
Yeah, well, you can't laugh in it.
Mm.
Yeah. The thing is though, it's a joke, but it's a real.
It's a real reflection on life.
Exactly. Isn't it? Which is really good. Yeah, it's a very interesting statement. So that Deathloop you said you got into as well.
Deathloop. Arcane Studios, so the guys who made Dishonored, if you ever played Dishonored, again, it's the whole idea of the game is, if you've ever watched Groundhog Day, Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, or there's probably some more romance films that basically repeat the same day over and over again, and the central protagonist has to change things to try and get the best outcome. Mm. This is the game version of that. You've got to assassinate 7 people, maybe 8 people in a day. You repeat the same day, which might put you off, and it might sound repetitive. It's not
heavy,
believe me. It's again, one of the most original and brilliant first-person shooters I've played recently.
Yeah, man. Was Bethesda studio behind that as
yeah.
well? I think,
yeah. Arkane developed it, Bethesda shipped it.
And right after Microsoft bought Bethesda, their first game was a PlayStation exclusive, which must have... Well, it's the game, innit? I guess everyone was laughing at that at the time. But yeah, man, good game. It did really, really well. I think IGN gave it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you value IGN, but, you know, they tend to be quite nice, don't they?
With I was going to say, it's I can see why they called it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it depends on what your scale is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for me, 10 out of 10 is something
is it a bit much?
Special.
Okay.
Like, 10 out of 10, you've got to be thinking about that game for a while. Like,
Last of Us 2.
The last game that I played that was a 10 out of 10 was the very first Last of Us.
For me, for two reasons, it was because I think Last of Us is a great choice. Last of Us 2 is 10 out of 10 because I had to sit down. I remember I texted a mutual friend of ours, Midas, and told him that I'd finished it. And right. I was like, just my mind was blown.
Right.
Text another mate telling him I'd finished it. And he's like, are you all right? And I was like, no. I needed 20 minutes, 30 minutes to just get over what I'd just experienced.
Grounded 2, the documentary about the making of The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
I watched that. That's come out recently. And it's very, very, very good. And of course, there was a real pandemic apparently during the time of them making the game and then shipping the game as well. And it lets us in on a lot of what was going on behind the scenes with regards to the leaks as well.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliantly put together documentary. I have some... Without wanting to talk about a game that's 4 years old in depth, I think they should have split The Last of Us Part 2 into two games.
They could have. They could have.
Which is very rare for me to say that.
Yeah, and they could have, but I kind of respect them. I kind of respect them for not, you know. You know what? Yeah, because they could have, and they could have made us wait, but I'm kind of happy with... You know what? I'm happy because I needed to get it done, man. It was too much. It was too much of an emotional rollercoaster, because another game that I'd probably give a 10 out of 10... is Spider-Man, not Spider-Man 2, Miles Morales. I went back to play that before I played Spider-Man 2, and I kind of like it. I think it's my favourite out of all the Spider-Man games. Not because it's in-depth or crazy. I just feel like it just was a joy to play. Like, I wanted to 100% it, and there's not many games I want to do that with nowadays. Like, I wanted to play every part of that game. Even though the new Spider-Man's fantastic, I don't know why I like the second in the series.
I'd say because, not in a bad way, at all, it's more of the same. Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
there's enough for me. There's enough elements that separate it from the others.
Mm.
But at its heart, it's not a complete. You've played it before. At its heart. It's not like I'm playing Portal 2 right now. And apart from the first Portal, I've never played a game like that. And it's amazing.
Yeah,
amazing, amazing. But yeah,
man. Why are you all up in the throwbacks at the moment?
I feel like I don't have a clue, to be honest.
Wrong podcast, mate.
I genuinely, it doesn't matter to me when a game has come out. Like, if it's good, I will play it. Or if it's reviewed well, I will play it. I still go back and play Doom 2.
Heavy, heavy. Yeah, no, I get that. No, I'm just curious because I feel like I keep saying to people now, we're at that critical moment now where you either spend your whole life trying to play every game and you have no life, or you just got to let them fly by, man. I'm doing it with TV now. I've been doing it with movies for a while. I've just got to let some of them fly over my head. And if I find them, I find them. But if I don't, I don't. And I'm also being a right arsehole. I'm giving myself 10 to 20 minutes in a game for it to pull me in. If it doesn't grab me in 10, 20 minutes, sometimes I'm putting it down and moving on, man. Because there's just so much out there at the moment. How do I find what I like? And I know it's fickle, but, you know, and I'm doing it with TV shows as well. One episode. If it's not got me, I'm moving on. Unless somebody comes back to me and says, you have to. And I do sometimes, but I just keep it pushing, bro. I have to.
I understand. But for me, TV is a 2-episode rule. Watch 2 episodes.
You do 2, yeah?
Back to back.
Okay.
The very first episode 1, season 1.
Yeah.
I'll watch the first 2 episodes back to back. And if by then I'm like, nah.
Okay.
Then I'll keep it moving.
And what about with the game then?
The last one that I played and I thought, I just can't be bothered, was Far Cry 6.
You know what? I'm on that at the moment, you know, it's okay. It's fun.
Yeah.
I Googled its playtime for like the main missions. It's like 40 hours or 30 hours just to do the main missions in those sides.
And for me, it's not worth it. It's not captivated me enough for it to be worth it. Like Far Cry 3 was amazing. Five kept me involved and I enjoyed it. I didn't play 4. One and 2 were great as well.
Yeah.
This one, I just...
I want to get to the Stranger Things mission. I think apparently there's a Stranger Things mission in there that they've got in there that you can access at some point. If you look at the, because I'm literally playing at the moment on the PlayStation Store, when you go to the game and you're on your PlayStation 5, there's a background that comes up with Stranger Things in it. So there's a crossover, and it's not. I think it's, you get it as part of the game. If it's an add-on, I'm going to grab it anyway and fuck with it. But yeah, after I do that, then I might park it up because it's a great looking game. It's cool to play, but it's just like, It's just much, man. It's just a lot, dude. Like, it's a lot, man.
It wasn't for what, for how much you need to involve yourself in it. It didn't, storyline wise, it didn't grab me or didn't do anything new. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it?
No, it's great for PS5. Right? It shows you what the PS5 can do graphically. It's cool. It's got big open landscape that you traverse. It's, the loading times are really fast, because usually with games like that, your PS4, you'd sit there for 10 minutes or 5 minutes in it, a long 5 minutes, and wait for it to load up. It's fun to play. It's cool. But I just, like you said, the story. Well, this is the difference with Spider-Man. I didn't Google how long it took to complete. I just wanted to. And that game, graphically, in terms of realism, is not as realistic as Far Cry 6.
Right.
And it's fun having an alligator that follows you around to eat people and stuff.
Yes.
But I wasn't tempted to do any of the missions in like a silent or quiet mode. I just wanted to get in, fuck everyone up, and get out. And I felt like that's kind of a sign that a game's cool, but you're not really wanting to take your time with it. Like Spider-Man, to go back to that again, you know, when you have the stealth missions, even when you have like the little training missions that you can get certain scores on, I wanted to 100% all of that, bro. Like, I was all over it. I wanted to take out a whole group of baddies without a single one of them noticing that I was there. Right. That's what I was on.
I get it.
But I'm not getting that from Far Cry. Even with the weapons, I've done a bit of customization, but I'm just a bit like,
I think the thing with Far Cry 6 is, because at its heart, it's the same game that it has been forever. Like, bad guy takes over big plot of land. You need to annihilate this, him and...
Overlord.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And maybe because we had... the guy that runs Los Pollos Hernandos in Breaking Bad, that kind of dragged me along as well. Sorry, I can't remember the actor's name, but fuck, he's got an amazing voice.
Esposito.
Yeah, Carlos Esposito. Is he there?
That's gonna kill me.
I'm googling it.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo Esposito, that's it. Yeah. Sorry about that, man. Carlos, fucking hell. Racist fuck.
Jesus Christ.
Racist fuck. Get him out. But yeah, man. It's flipping great, man. Flipping great, man.
Something I did want to ask you about, a bit of a skew, because you're a far bigger tech head than me out of the two of us. Have you discovered yet?
Come here, tech head.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. Absolute dickhead.
have you yet to discover a bit of software that can identify songs for you, where you don't need to pull your phone out in the middle of XYZ and get it to actually listen? So Google launched their Google app, and you can sing into the app.
Yeah.
And it's a piece of crap to me, I think. I know it's because I can't sing.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example. When I was out gallivanting in LA, there was a song came on. And I thought, I recognize this song. I've loved this song for years and years. I just don't know what it is. And I tried singing it after I left the museum that I was in. I tried singing it into Google, and it just didn't work.
Were you using it on the Google app on your iPhone?
Yeah.
I've tried it on a Pixel before, and it kind of worked. I sang the words. I was like, what's the song that goes down, 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 down? And it got it, like Paul Johnson down or whatever. Nothing yet. I'm still a Shazammer, but I have a if that then this set up. So that if I Shazam something, it goes straight to my Spotify playlist. So I have a playlist of them. So that's what I do. Have I got the Shazam app on my watch? Let me double check.
That would be useful.
I got Shazam on my watch, I think. Let me have a look. So Shazam. Yeah, I got Shazam on my watch. So I just tap it, and then it starts Shazamming. And then what happens is whatever it grabs, it will listen, and then it'll just put it straight on my phone.
That's the way it's done.
Into Spotify. If that, then this, baby. If that, then this. Underrated tool, man. It's just one of the sickest things, man. So, like, you know, you can do all sorts. Your lights flash red when Arsenal score. So that would have been a lot of flashing over the last 10 days. That's what I say. Flip it out. But Richie looks at his laptop intensely. So you can do that. But there's lots of little tools. And that's one of the little tools I use it for, just to make it easy. So I know now, if I'm out and about, if I'm a sucker for like watching TV shows and going, what the fuck is that song? Quick Shazam.
Right.
And then I don't have to worry about, how do I get it from Shazam somewhere else? It's just on my phone and it's good to go. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I had to do? I had to delve into the depths of my memory for this song, and I thought to myself, I'm sure it's in GTA San Andreas.
Yeah.
So I went onto Spotify and listened to a GTA San Andreas playlist and just skipped through loads and loads. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, no, not that one. And eventually I found it.
What was the song?
The song was La Raza, Kid Frost.
Okay.
And I would play it, yeah. But I don't know how your copyright.
A few seconds of it, innit?
Okay, yeah, I mean, hang on.
Is that a curiosity?
Wait for it. This bit. Nope. Recognize it?
What's the close. Sample?
Close.
What's the sample? Yeah.
Wait for it, because you'll know it when you hear it.
Wow, this is riveting pod. This is award-winning. This is the award-winning How to Kill an Hour you're listening to, baby.
Let's edit this out, that's for sure. I think I definitely just skipped the bit.
It's all right. I trust you, bro. I trust you.
Oh. That.
Okay. See, now the nerd in me would want to put that through who sampled and find out who sampled that.
Right.
But yeah, we won't get into that, man.
We can edit all of that.
Nah, that's all cool. Yeah, so what I do, Shazam on my watch is how I do it. I don't know how to do it other than that. Cool. Like, but I presume if you got AirPods on, yeah, but you still need to whip out your phone, innit? Yeah, man. Apple Watch. How about you? Are you Apple Watching at the moment?
I am Apple Watching. The old SE.
Yeah, get the Shazam. Yeah. Get the Shazam app on it, bruv.
That's exactly what I'll do.
You're good to go.
Cool. Well, I've learned something today.
There you go. How else have you been killing time? Or should we talk about how we're about to kill time today?
We can talk about how we've been and then about to.
Okay, cool. Right. Yeah, let's do that, man.
Because we're about to go and see Dune 2, aren't we?
Yeah, Dune? Not Dune the month. Dune. Sand Dune. Yeah. About to see Dune. Villeneuve's come again with a second of the trilogy that he's going to give us. Frank Herbert, is that the author? Yep. I think it is Frank Herbert. Yeah, man. Trilogy of books. I happen to have read the first six of them, and let me just say, by book
first
seven,
six,
bro,
how many are there?
Bro, his kids are fucking writing new ones. Like, listen, this is another thing. Can we backtrack? Another thing that I'm starting to do with franchises. Here's what I'm doing now with TV shows as well. This is how I'm streamlining my viewing. I'm not doing spin-offs anymore. So, for example, I love The Boys.
Right,
that's going to make an interesting clip by itself. TV show. I watched the animated spin-off because it was lots of shorts on Amazon Prime.
Invincibles.
No. There's a The Boys animated spin-off.
Didn't know that.
Check it. Some of the voice actors are not the original ones from the show because clearly they didn't want their dough. So that, sure. Cool. Whatever. Cheers, Carl. Watch that. But then there's like a new live spin-off.
Gen V.
I'm all right, mate. Okay. No disrespect. I love the franchise. But I'm like, if I start doing that.
Yeah.
Bro, you're talking to the guy that's watched all the Star Treks.
Right.
Like, do you get me? Like, right. That's enough. Right, I've done it.
I haven't started Masters of the Air yet, and that for me is like high up on my list. I've still not been able to start it.
There you go.
Busy.
There you go. So, yeah. So, anyway.
Dune.
So, yeah. Dune. So.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The first film. Yeah. So I happened to go back and reread. I didn't reread all of them, but I kind of recapped the six books. Because I remember by the seventh book, Frank, for some reason, gets horny and they get real wild. Bro, they're about to get wild now. Yeah, if we see what I think we're going to see in the first three books. But he just starts getting mad horny. I don't know what's going on at home, bruv. But the books just start getting
nothing
freaky out of nowhere. It's the equivalent of just fucking reading a... It's equivalent of watching like Pocahontas and then all of a sudden the character whips their cock out. You're like, this is a kid. What is going on, bruv? Yeah, it's just... I don't know. I feel like I turned the page and it was like the sweat dripping down the back of her legs. I was like, whoa. How did this get here? Anyway, so... Dune 1, had you had any experience of the Dune?
No.
So you...
No.
Because I'm aware of what's going on, and I'm aware when you watch a book to movie cross a transition, especially when it's a complex storyline, you can lose what is going on. I get what's going on, but if they don't explain it right, you don't get it. Do you... And have you rewatched it before?
I've watched it twice now. I rewatched the first one over the space of like three sittings.
I did it in one yesterday.
I am a patient person, yeah. Right, with films. Yeah. I've not read the books, but yeah. I've definitely watched films which are based on books.
Yeah.
And like they've not lost anything, for example. This is the, I guess, Love Island contestant of movies in that it looks incredible.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's about as deep as a puddle. Like, there's nothing there. It's like, and what was there was just a bit corny to me. Do you know what I mean?
I get where you're at. I get where you're at. Yeah.
There was the bit with the worm walk. You didn't need to put that in there. The worm walk.
Oh, the worm walk. You mean the sand walk?
Whatever.
Oh my god!
The sand walk to like demonstrate how if you don't walk like that, a giant worm's going to come out of the ground and like you. I understand it. You don't need to put that on there. And it's like it. Also, the worm walk in and of itself is like the shittest early 2000s NSYNC choreography ever.
Oh dread! I was thinking that you are. Like,
yeah.
Anyway,
that is what it's like, and it's
Backstreet Boys. Sorry.
That whole sequence where, I mean, his name is Paul. The central character's name is Paul, and nothing against Pauls at all, but the film is set 100,000 years in the future.
Yeah.
And the central character's called Paul, and they all fight with knives. Yeah. There's not a single gun in it, but then they can cut open doors with, like, these lasers.
Yeah.
I love Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
I think he's... Blade Runner 2049 is incredible. Prisoners, incredible. Sicario, incredible. Woo. This, I don't like the source material, clearly. It's just not for me, personally.
All right, so this is why I'm going to try and justify this a little bit. I mean, for once, I may know a little bit more about a movie than Richie. Hold tight. Maybe. So the whole knives and guns thing, it's kind of like a... I'm going to go in the order of what you said. It's kind of like a respect for the old ways kind of thing. So the Chris knife is a knife that's made out of a tooth of one of these worms. So that's what the super sharp knife is. So that, it's kind of when they're fighting with knives, it's like... the old traditional way, you know. It's kind of like in Star Wars, why do they use lightsabers instead of just lasers?
But there's guns in it as well.
And there's also guns in... there are guns.
When?
There are guns.
Okay. I'll tell you.
There are guns. There are guns. And I think they can't use... I don't know if they explained it. I don't think you can use energy weapons because the spice will blow up. So you can't use certain weapons. So I don't know if they explain that properly in the books. You can't use shields because it drives the worms mad. And I think you can't use energy weapons because just firing a weapon will cause a massive explosion. Everybody dies, I think.
Do you know what? The shield thing, I think I remember being explained. But the gun thing, I don't remember that being explained.
I think so.
I think that's what happens.
Yeah, fair enough. It took three seasons.
It did.
In the future, him being called Paul, no rebuttal for that. But also what you got to remember is Frank Herbert wrote this book. Like there's certain things in this film that you see in other films. Let me find out when Dune 1 was written, because we're talking about a guy, it's a long time ago, 60s? But I'm going to find out the rule.
I'm going to say 60s.
1965. So some of his sci-fi presumptions are well in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he knew it was going to happen. Some of the shit is so off the mark. So the fact that helicopters would look like flies.
Mm.
Nah, mate. Mm. We still got the same kind of stuff. Mm. The fact that some of the science, like, just is a bit like weird. Like, I don't know, like, for humans to have such a great command over themselves to be able to do like mad mental arithmetic. AI though, AI being a thing that everybody's scared of. He was bang on about that, you know. But yeah, so I think he struggled to get, not struggled, but when you're imagining a world where you don't even have, I mean, in 65, I'm trying to think, what's the most technologically advanced thing you had? Like, you're still, I don't know, man. I feel like he's right. Like he made some guesses and some sure. stuff came off yeah, and yeah. some stuff doesn't. I mean, to have a suit that only like loses a thimble of water every single day when you wear it, I think that's an amazing invention. We're still yet to see that, you know, a steel suit, you know. But then again, we are in the future where they're trying to harvest this spice from giant worms and ride them. But I liked it because I like the source material. I love sci-fi. The book has a lot of explainy bits in it.
Right.
And you can't, how do you put that into 2 hours and 45 minutes of film? Impossible, bro. But
right. So there are moments in it where clearly I just don't understand what's going on. But yeah. is that good filmmaking?
Nah.
What's the bit where there's this like,
go on, I'll explain. Go on, give me some bits.
There's a bit with like this, the first time you see Skarsgård, can't remember the actor's name, the bad guy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
First time you see him, you see this big black spider with human hands and then it just runs away, just scuttles off. It's why?
I can't properly remember it, but I feel like they have these weird pets. Like you have, like he does these. You see these. I can't remember what they're called. I think they're called razor wolves or something like that. That we might see in the second movie. But he like takes animals and kind of like in the future, what would if men messed with them? What would they be like? Or if they were an alien planet, what would they be like? You know, kind of like when you watch. I don't know if you watch Rebel Moon. Zack Snyder.
I know it, but I didn't see it.
There's these horses that they're riding where they've just stuck these things in the front of these horses' heads to make them aliens. I get it, innit? Sometimes you're just like, how do we have a mode of transport that's an animal like a horse, but not a horse?
Yeah.
A unicorn's too far. Yeah. Let's just slap a shield on their face, make it look like it's part of them, and it's called a thorse or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that weird thing was to kind of show that that there's always spies. So we're there, where there's the Queen of the Bene Gesserits is there. So she's talking to I fucking remember name because he's not the emperor. The main bad guy that we know at the moment. And she's trying to prove that there's always spies. That's why some of the actors use sign language sometimes, speak in different languages, because everyone's always watching. Like, so she's there and this smarmy ass mentat or this smart a human is saying, nobody's here, no one can listen. She's like, is it really? Well, if I just tell this little fucker to this little arachnid thing on the floor to fuck off, she goes, fuck off, basically.
Yeah.
And it listens and walks away. And she goes, well, clearly something is listening. So it shows you that even the humble dog equivalent of a cat or a dog drinking water or licking milk from the floor is listening and spying. So at any point, any conversation can be heard. That's why she asked for a cone of silence to be put over them.
Okay.
And they talk. I'm a fucking nerd for this, isn't
it? You've nailed
it. Yeah, go for it.
You nailed it. Final one.
Wait, have you got understanding there? Is that cool? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Fine.
But
fair play.
I get that's, unless they explain that to you, then it kind of fucks you up.
I also don't feel like it needs, not this in particular, films in general, I don't want over explanation.
Okay, you don't
want
to be spoon fed.
I personally don't. Right, I understand why people do. Right, I don't personally. I want to figure it out a little bit by myself as well. The bit with the mosquito, this is where I was first like, what the fuck? Yeah. The bit with the little mosquito bomb drone thing that flies into Paul's bedroom.
Paul Atreides, yeah.
Right, yeah, whatever. And flies up
El
to Shahudo, his eye.
El whatever they come, he becomes. Sorry, yeah, go on.
You've lost me. Yeah. Flies up to his eye and then just sits there.
Yeah.
And then they just have a staring contest or whatever. And then he moves out of the way and it flies at someone else and he grabs it. That's it. I was like, what? Why has this gone on for so long? If you're going to kill him, kill him.
Badly explained. So what it is for the all of, if you grow up as the son of the king or the emperor or whatever, if you grow up as someone who is the son of someone very important in this time, as we know, there's spies, there's assassins, there's murderer, there's subterfuge, there's a load of fuckery going on. So he's learned how to fight. You know, you hear early on how I'm not in the mood for fighting like a teenager, and the person training goes, what mood? Dickhead.
Yeah.
Dickhead. You think we're practicing for when you fancy a little fight? Yeah. Fuck off. Let's get busy. By the way, a lot of that scene, a lot of text was lifted from the book. Fantastic.
I was going to say, you make it sound better than it was actually delivered in the film. Maybe you should have been this.
Maybe that's right, innit? Yeah. I'll just Guy Ritchie'd it, innit?
Yeah.
Fuck off. What's his name? Chris Knife. Why? Well, he's Chris. Give him a Chris Knife and you'll find out. Fucking hell, mate. A spicy James. Why? Oh, mate, give him some spice and you'll find. Anyway, sorry. That's the only Fool's Horse rip off as well. Anyway, right. You always have to be careful what you drink, eat, whatever.
Right.
So Paul's got a very high awareness. because he's been taught by his mum and also by other people. So he sees a little hole being burnt in his door and a little mosquito with a needle comes through it.
Yeah.
That needle mosquito works on movement. So he's trained his body. He stands in a light, which means that it makes it a bit harder to find him. And he slowly moves. They should have made it obvious. They should have done some like effects to show him keeping his body really still, or like his mum's training saying, you must stay still at certain times.
Look through the eyes of the mosquito thing.
Yeah.
He's not there.
And yeah. And he just stayed still, including not moving his eye. And that's why it stops, because it can't find him. Then when the door opens, it distracts it. Because it goes for the movement. He moves his head and that's when he catches
it. How the hell am I supposed to know that?
Yeah. And also, one juke of that, you would have died.
One more what?
One little stab of that, you would have died. It's not like his dad's, what his dad was poisoned with.
The tooth thing.
Yeah, the tooth thing was good. That made sense, right?
Cool. But I wasn't emotionally invested. I was like,
It's hard. Like, I think some of the stuff, it's really hard to explain. So like the scale of it, they tried to, in the books, and if I'm nerding out too much, pull me back, bruv, because I'll keep going. But in the books, even the transport ship they're on, all of the ships that you see them bring, like the massive armada of their own ships that they bring, only took up a really small part of these transport ships. Like the sheer amount of spice and the sheer amount of stuff they're moving is ridiculous. Like, think of the biggest spaceship you've ever fucking thought of, times it by 10. This is big weight that they're moving around. And the spice is the reason it's such an important thing is without you pilots taking that spice, there's no travel can be made that's like past the sun. Yeah. You get me? We can go to the moon and back. If you want to go any further, it's like trying to get out of bed without coffee, bruv. That's what spice is, isn't it?
Gotcha.
Not gonna happen.
Gotcha.
Not gonna happen, you get me? Gotcha. So that's what it is.
This has just turned from how to kill an hour to how to kill a day.
How to kill a day.
It's now 9 PM and we started this at 5.
So have I geared you up for the second movie?
Do you know what? Like I said, I rate Denis Villeneuve hugely, and and I'm separating him from the source material, which I just didn't gravitate towards personally. And I it wouldn't surprise me if this not only is an amazing film, but makes the first one better. Like he did with, for me, Blade Runner 2049 made a classic in the first Blade Runner even better under his stewardship.
Yeah. He's locked into the source material here. Right. He's locked into the IP of the family as well, who are still pumping out books. Yeah, right. Let's try it. I'll find out. I'll do a live latest Dune book. I'm not doing the spin-offs, bruv. They've got like House. The latest Dune book came out October the 3rd, 2023. Right. The third Heroes of Dune. I'm not doing that.
Nope.
See what I mean? So, and I love those books, but I'm not doing. I told you, I'm not a spin-off guy. But anyway, right. So, can I tempt you into setting you up for the second film? With some knowledge beforehand that I hope won't spoil it. I know it won't.
No. Well, I'm very sensitive to spoilers, but I mean, to be honest with this, I haven't particularly cared. But it's a weird one because you're like a cheat code for Dune.
Anytime, elbow me when we go watch it, and I'll help you out, bro.
Because
how am I a cheat code, buddy?
Well, because you know all of this, it informs your opinion of the film far greater than me, who was approaching it as a complete amateur.
Yeah,
but should films rely on everyone going back and reading 87 books
for it to be
a good film?
That's the thing. And I get it. And I no, they shouldn't. I think the film should stand on its own two legs, but it's the I can't comprehend.
Lord of the Rings is the classic, by the way, for that.
Lord of the Rings did it. I think Harry Potter did it as well.
Rogue's Expedition did it.
Yes, 100%. And I can't even comprehend how they get that balance of good enough so that you're not over-explaining it to someone who's watched it.
Yeah.
But good enough so that an absolute ignoramus walks in the room is called impossible, bruv. Right. I don't know how to do it. It's a balance that is flipping hard.
Yeah.
Hunger Games did it.
Blade Runner did it.
And also, how do you leave it intriguing for those that are first watching it? Also, how do you leave a cliffhanger so that the people already know the story and the second one still want to watch it? Last of Us did it as well.
I think Last of Us did it.
And it's very hard because it's a knife edge, bro. You fuck it up.
I agree.
You'd be like, oh, I already know this, mate. Why are you over-explaining it? Or what the fuck is that fly doing in the room? Which we kind of got with this. But I think we're going to be treated to some nice visuals.
Definitely.
Some nice music. They're going to overuse the word sand power too many times. I don't know why that was used so much. Sand power. All right, bruv, we're in the sand. There's power. I get it. We've seen Paul. We're going to see Paul become a man.
Sure.
Paul, you're going to be saying Paul's name. If they get the film right, you're going to be saying his name with some more bass in your voice after this.
Yeah,
you're going to have some newfound respect for Paul,
Okay?
Yeah, the little mouse that is Paul. That's a little treat that I'm going to give you. That's a little spoiler there. That, but yeah, man. And also, we're going to see some Zendaya as well in there well. And as you know from watching the... if you've seen any of the posters? Knocking around?
Maybe.
Paul's got blue eyes in the posters.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That means he's been on the little... He's been... he's been smacking a bit of that
himself.
Spice down. You get me, bruv? Yeah. I mean, have a little bit of spice. Why, you know what I mean, bruv? You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's
we'll
it.
See. I'm going to go in with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going in with no expectations.
Okay. So open mind, open heart.
Open mind, open heart.
Yeah, not an open wallet because it's a press screening, but
exactly.
I'm glad that I've been brought back into the Warner Brothers fold after what I said about Oppenheimer and Barbie. This
what?
Is the first. I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm all good. But I look forward to seeing it, and I feel like Tim's having a good year.
Isn't he just?
Wonka.
Yep.
First Dune, I think he got 2 M4. Wonka, I think he got 9 M4. The second Dune, I don't know, he's probably locked in for another 2M. I mean, his money's
seen,
right.
Have you seen those old videos of him?
On what? I don't know.
Like, just on YouTube, like him being a rapper and stuff like this.
No, he doesn't say racist stuff, does he?
No.
Is it just cheesy?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Everyone's a kid.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true.
Yeah, man. Is he? But I can't see it being... I can't see Timothy rapping.
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy. What's his rapper name?
I can't remember.
All right, cool. Can we, if we bring a mic with us after the show, can we do like a little, after recording it, on the way out of it, can we do a little like voice recording
Definitely.
So we can get some live reactions out of it? Just a quick 5 minutes,
Definitely.
10 minutes, and then
Definitely.
We can slap it on the end of this pod.
I do get passionate about like watching films though. Like I watched Anyone But You,
yeah,
and it was a fucking pile of shit and I hated it. And I lost faith in humanity for how much money that film is making because it's fucking awful.
Why is it awful though? You have to give us a why.
Oh God! You know the film I'm on about, Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney. It's the most reductive, trite piece of shit, quote unquote, rom com that is about as romantic as a turd and about as funny as one as well.
Oh damn!
Actually, no, turds are funnier.
I mean, I love a good shit.
Honestly, it's so
really
bad. It's so bad.
Really?
Like, I started using my... I'm very strict with this. I started WhatsApping my mates during the film, and I never get my phone out. I never get... I went to the toilet, I went and got some popcorn, I went to get some water. I did watch enough of it to know, and I started WhatsApping my mates saying, don't go and see this film, in the middle of seeing this film. It was awful.
Shit. I hope you enjoyed Dune a little bit more in this part too, bro.
I think I will.
We need to make sure you have a big wee before you go.
Yeah.
And not too much
because ironically I'll need a coffee for this 2 hours 45 minutes of a film that I wasn't invested in the first one. I'll need a coffee.
Alright, Christ, I got you, bruv. What about have you heard about the app Runpee?
Sorry?
Runpee. It's an app called Runpee.
No.
And you check the film that you're watching. For us it won't work because the film ain't out yet, and it'll say press play when you see, for example, the Warner Brothers logo, and then it'll start a timer for you and vibrate a good times to pee, and on your way to pee and back you can read what bits you just missed.
My
so it'll pick like
God.
Bits of the film where not much happens but still explain it to you. So for example, you know you have like a travel scene where two people sit and it's like, so how did you get into this?
Right.
That kind of stuff, you know. And it'd be like, X character explains that he was in the army and the reason that he's so angry all the time is because he lost his pet Fido when he was 6. May have relevance later on in the film. You have about 7 minutes to wee and come back.
I went and watched Inception at the weekend because it was back in the cinemas because I adore that film.
Yeah.
And there was a specific bit where I was like, I need the toilet.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait 10 minutes until this bit.
Yeah.
Go and come back. And I was happy to do it because I've seen that film a billion times.
Great film, man. Lots of practical effects. People forget that it's not that special effects heavy for a film. So for
that app.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Run P.
Run
there you go.
P. Brilliant.
The one, man. Go for it. Go for it. Let us know if you've got your hands on that. But yeah, I think it's time for us to get out of it, Richie, because we need to go and watch Dune 2. And then basically straight after this, we're going to be letting you know what we think of it. Where can we find you online though, Richie?
I am at Richie Driss on Instagram. I forgot my Twitter or X account or whatever, and Threads at Richie Driss. There's no T in Richie. No one spells it like that. It's silly.
There you go. We're at How to Kill an Hour everywhere, and I'm Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy, wherever you are on the socials. Yeah, you got to know, man. Got to make them know. Anyway, we'll be in your ear holes in about 20 seconds, letting you know what we think of the cinematic masterpiece,
hopefully,
that is Dune
2.
2.
Rough.
Yo. So, yeah, we've just come out of the cinema and we just finished watching Dune 2. What are you saying, Richie? Because I've enjoyed that, bro.
Okay, first of all, I want to clarify. Is it Dune or is it Dune?
Dune. It's Dune.
Because
it's
they said it in the film and yeah, that's Dune. Like, oh, that's the moment. You know, yeah, like, yeah, oh, yeah. He said it.
Dune.
Okay. Shall I go?
Yeah, man. Go for it, bro.
Never, ever, ever in my life...
Oh, sorry. Seriously. Sorry, before we carry on, yeah. You hear clickety-clickety of like indicators and stuff like that. We're driving from the cinema to the train station.
Yes. That's so we're on a time limit here of 14 minutes.
14 minutes. Oh, fucking hell.
God, it's going to go on 14 hours. Yeah. All right. Headline. Never, ever, ever in my life have I ever gone into a sequel. Every single time I've seen a film and then I've seen the sequel, I've had sort of expectations and they've, you know, obviously they've either met them or exceeded them or, do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I've gone in... Never, ever, ever in my life, for any film that I can think of off the top of my head, have I gone in to a film thinking one thing and left thinking the polar opposite. In that, I went in like, oh God, the first was a sandy bumhole of a film that I just didn't care about. The second one is objectively fucking brilliant.
I feel like they took notes after the first one and because we actually bumped into Anil Tomlinson, Stefan Powell, Rory, from This Paranormal Life and RKG, Gavin Murphy, loads of people, and pretty much everyone I asked about the film said exactly what you said. They felt like you got a lot more bang for your buck in these 3 hours of cinema.
Yeah. not even bang for your buck in terms of like spectacle, but just I actually cared about the story and I actually cared about the characters, and which considering the first one I just did not care. This one was, yeah, as I said, it was objectively brilliant. It looks unbelievable. We saw it on IMAX screen, and it looked unbelievable. That's Denis Villeneuve is just an absolute master of making films look as good as possible. All I can possibly say is, while I've said it's objectively brilliant, there have been reviews that say it's the best sci-fi film ever and all that kind of thing. For me, subjectively, it just can't reach the pinnacle of, like, you know, the Blade Runners, the Matrixes, those sorts of sci-fi films where there's something really tangible to hang on to. Like, The Matrix is all about the nature of reality and are we living in a simulation, all that kind of thing. Blade Runner is, what is it to be human? This is so far away from that that, for me, just subjectively, I can't put it up there, but it is an amazing film.
Yeah, man. I feel like it edges on fantasy a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So for the same, I'd say the same reason that, same way that people that like love Star Trek would say that that's hardcore sci-fi, Star Wars is sci-fi as well, but it's got that mixture of fantasy in it, a bit more fantasy in it. And I feel like, you know, like Star Trek and Star Wars are different, like you said, Blade Runner and Dune are different as well.
Yeah.
But the journey that we saw in this though, man, I think I hinted it to you earlier, we see Paul go from boy to man.
Should we do spoiler alert from here on?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't think there's anything else I can breathe. Like, this isn't going to spoil it. Fantastic. Like, if you can watch it in IMAX, amazing sound.
Yeah.
The score is amazing and it works very well with the rest of the film. And it's got great use of spatial sound. I don't talk about that a lot, but there's some whispery bits in it where they actually really maximise the spatial sound. So sound moves in and around you in the cinema. Sometimes that's used and it isn't, but they do use that as well. So you're watching something that's amazingly beautiful, but also I'd say the sound design and the score just fit together perfectly. It's really, really good. And it didn't feel too loud. I don't know how to explain it. There are sonic reasons for that, but I felt like they used their loudness well. Some films are just like a Godzilla film, they just max out everything. But
yeah.
I felt like it was the right level of loud and it was a good vibe. And we are actually passing the Microsoft store in Oxford Circus with Dune Part 2 adverts as we speak.
And is that one of the grasshopper helicopter things in the window
it's
there?
It's one of the Foctory kind of things. And we've got...
It's a flight simulator.
Timothy. Oh, there's a Dune flight simulator on Game Pass. Yeah, we need to get that.
Game Pass as well. Yeah.
All right. So spoiler time. If you don't want spoilers, I'd suggest finishing the podcast here and watching the film and then coming back. But yeah, crack on, Richie. Spoiler.
The character arc that Timothée Chalamet goes through is brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Like, I'm a big fan of like flawed protagonists.
Yeah, man.
But that's my jam, like, hugely. Whether it's like past trauma or whether they go on to do bad things for good reasons, I love all that. Yeah. So to see the journey he goes through in this, because in the first one he was a bit of a nothing, bit of a brat, bit of a meh, like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't feel like fighting right now, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
this, yeah. My God, like, he is, yeah, that transition that he goes through to being a fucking badass, and the bit where he becomes the Messiah, whatever you want to call it, where he wades through everyone saying, you're all scared of me, yeah. And then he takes that, everyone's like, what the fuck, gets their knives out, and then he twists it and proves everyone wrong, and they bow down to him. Brilliant scene.
Yeah, I think in the books, because it's been a while since I've been in them, in the books he actually inherits a family when he actually kills the first Fremen in the book. Can't remember his name, sorry. Great actor. He's also in Star Trek, man. Plays a doctor in the new Star Trek Strange New Worlds. He plays Dr. Mbenga. Can't remember the actor name. Can't remember his name in Dune. Great. But anyway, so after he kills the first Fremen that stands against him, that's his first kill. What we don't see, well, I don't think they refer to in the movies, is he actually inherits a whole family in the book. So he has to man up quickly. And the way they, and I was wondering how they're going to show that in this film. The way they show that in this film is the way he fucking murks somebody at the start of it. Like, within the first few moments of seeing Paul, we see him killing somebody and being like, yeah. Whereas at the end of the first film, you see him actually be like, fuck, this is the first kill I've made. This is crazy. So you see that transition where obviously he is now a full 360 degree soldier with what he thinks is everything he needs to kind of carry on. He's getting little kind of premonitions, and then obviously later on, as his powers increase, because he drinks a fluid that, you know, I won't give you a super spoiler, but he drinks something that he shouldn't, and then yeah, we kind of see him become the all-knowing Muad'Dib, yeah, leader of the of the families, and obviously of Dune as well. And boy, I don't know, man, I feel like I'm ready for the next film already, but where are we? I think that's book one done, and this is meant to be a trilogy that we have already been signed up for the film. So, but technically, we need 6 movies to get through the books.
No, this pace. Like, as much as I enjoyed it, don't do that.
I don't know where we are in the books. I feel like we're like one and a half. Are we one and a half? No, we're one book in, bro. Things get freaky, you know. On a serious note, things get weird. Right, things are about to get weirder.
I mean, there are giant fucking worms that they ride through the desert, so it's not exactly a sort of straight-laced, grounded film.
Yeah,
you know, the mum is communicating with her unborn child, like...
Yeah, so, all right. I leant over to you and I tried to ask you if you clocked... I think you're smart, because I wouldn't have got that if I watched it, but did you clock why she's talking to her child and what's happened... Why there's that communication between her and that fetus?
Well, tell me if I'm wrong. Of course, you read the books and all that kind of thing, but I feel like trying to maybe manipulate the fetus for the fetus's arrival into the world to be able to put the fetus in the best possible stead to then control. Because obviously, the mother went on a hell of a journey in this one as well. Like, ridiculous in the best way possible character arc as well, and has gone full fucking nearly. At one point, I thought of Schmeagol and. Gimli. Oh my God, Lord of the Rings, Schmeagol and Gollum.
Schmeagol and Gollum, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. At one point I was like, wow, that's a bit Gollum there, but not in a bad way. But is that right? Is that wrong?
So what it is when she drinks, basically they are just kind of, if you ain't watched Dune, it's going to sound random. They get a small worm.
Oh, Jesus.
Drown it and take the water of life out of it. And then when she takes it, she's meant to take on the head Bene Gesserit's all of their knowledge, but when the reason that old Bene Gesserit goes, what have we done? Because she takes on the knowledge, but the fetus takes on all of the knowledge of like many, many people. So the fetus actually becomes like, imagine, it's fucking a bit scary. The fetus becomes fully self-aware. So the fetus is a whole human, like mentally all the way there. That's why they're having a conversation. The baby's actually started to manipulate, going, oh, what's going on? We should do this. We should do that. And this is just the beginning of the trippy shit. That's why you see the baby's eyes kind of open a bit and she's having full blown, because the child is, until Paul drinks of the same liquid, that child has the same knowledge.
Till Paul drinks of the same worm.
Of the same worm. And and then I don't know now if you've noticed, Paul is looking at his mum a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Like, he's not ignorant. He understands that there's moves at play. His mum says that she didn't know stuff, but when she did find out that he was actually related to one of the main villains, why didn't she tell him straight away?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's all getting a bit tricky, and you can kind of tell he doesn't know who to trust. And also, like his dad, He has taken someone's hand, but he also loves someone else. I don't know if you noticed, his, like, Paul's mum wasn't really seen as his
missus
at the start. So it's all getting a bit tricky. Zendaya's been parred, I think, man.
Yeah, she's
on the side.
Like, I mean, listen, that's a ballsy, bad boy move of Timothée Chalamet to sack off Zendaya for Florence Pugh.
Yeah, man. It's all right for some, isn't it, bro? Also, anyway, I was going to say something silly, but I won't. But yeah, basically, visually, the film's amazing.
Oh,
for me, I love the story, but as someone who's not into the stories and stuff, I was worried that maybe you're not getting enough, or are there loads of unanswered questions or anything.
So, again, this is very, very, very first reactions. I will sit and I will think about it a lot more.
Yeah.
Did it do the books justice?
For me, it did, yeah. Right. I mean, it's very hard to squeeze all that information, and I felt like it skipped some bits, tweaked some bits, but I don't think it took away from the story. Like, we're at the end of this meant to be like, fucking hell, Paul's a badass.
Big time.
But...
And I never thought I'd ever hear someone say, Paul is a badass.
Paul is a badass, yeah, yeah. But we don't really know what's going to happen, and I'm ready to... I want to know what happens visually. I want to see how that plays out on film.
But it has set up... It didn't do a cheap cliffhanger, which I was worried about.
Yeah.
It really set up the third film brilliantly.
I'm
very, very much looking forward to it.
And we've had our teaser, our first return of a main character. We've had our first return of a main character as well, which is great as well. What you need to know about Dune is nothing's off the table.
First tease return?
Yeah, so remember, was it Gurney Halleck that we thought we saw was going to be... we thought was had passed away in the...
Oh, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, we thought he'd passed away in the...
I didn't think he passed away. I thought he just fucking disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah, so we didn't know what happened. Yeah, so he came back, and he's obviously alive and well. He was trying to, like, say he was living a life as a dodgy spice trader, selling that spice on a black market, wheeling, dealing.
I need to ask, though.
Yeah, go on.
The host who sort of introduced the film and told everyone to switch their phones off and all that kind of thing mentioned one of the best moments in any film of the year already, and it's only February. I don't know what that bit was.
Maybe it was when they rode the worms into battle. That was kind of bad.
I mean, it was fucking sick. There were amazing moments, but I was expecting like a big cameo. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there were some great... Who did we have in there? We had...
The cast is amazing.
Who did we have as the Emperor? Fucking hell, he's an amazing actor. Why am I forgetting?
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. As soon as I saw that, I was like, yep, big man.
He smacked it. He was
always does.
Great in there. Like... kudos to Batista as well, man. He really played the character. Like, he's got a bit more range than you think. And he was it's easy to just play his character as an angry fucking little, like, well, he's an angry little man in it. But you're justified in when he acts like a fucking wimp and runs away from the Fremen, because they really are a force to be reckoned with. And he does kind of get the hard end of the stick, because, you know, he's done what he thinks is his best, but he couldn't handle what they're doing. And their spice.
As you said, props to Batista, because as far as wrestlers to actors, quote unquote actors, go, he is easily the best.
Easily the best.
Oh, hands down. There's no competition.
The Rock plays The Rock a lot, isn't it?
The Rock is The Rock. Off the top of my head, The Rock has done one good film in Moana.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going off piece here, but yeah.
But yeah, no, genuinely, I really liked it. If me liking it doesn't mean as much as you liking it, so maybe if you want to sit with it, Richie, and decide whether it really was as good as
genuinely I think any fan of film should go and see it.
Nice.
I think any fan of the cinema should go and see it. I think it's I think it's brilliant.
Tactical toilet break right at the start, and a coffee, that worked.
Nailed it.
Coffee as well, man. Shout out to Greg's for half decent coffee. Leicester Square came through, man. Thanks for that. That was a Richie as well. That was nice, man. If you're ever at Richie, he treats you good, you know.
Trust me.
Yeah. Were you alright, or did you fall asleep as well?
I wasn't even close to falling asleep.
Alright, cool. Sweet.
I wasn't close to falling asleep. And the fact that I put my glasses on like halfway through the film, because I just forgot, because I was sort of distracted by how good the film was. As I said, there's like a little bit of me that's like, subjectively, I will never gravitate towards it as much as other sci-fi films, but objectively, brilliant.
Yeah. Isn't it weird as well how a book that is sort of 50, 60 years old, like Texas, 60 years old, talking about war still has such relevance nowadays? I was watching Service of Film and I was like, fucking hell, that is so relevant to what's in the world right now.
Yeah.
So Yeah, man, there's quite a human aspect to it as well that I think you can dig into, even though it's set 100,000 years in the future. But yeah, I'm loving it, man. I'm ready for the next one. I don't know when that's going to be. Probably 2026 or something ridiculous like that. The third installment of six.
No, please. Please.
It's the norm now, bro.
No, one more film and then wrap it up. But you know, like, they'll do one more film, Denis Villeneuve, hopefully we'll wrap it up, and then they'll bring out a television series, they'll drag it through the dirt like some sort of sandy worm, and
Or Zack Snyder will take it. All of a sudden it will become like fucking Looney Tunes.
It will be like a 3-hour film, which if you watched in normal motion is about an hour and 20 minutes, but there's so much slow-mo in it.
That's it, man, that's it. Alright, man, well, look, almost at the station now. Thanks very much for joining us for that little review. thanks for the invite as well, Richie.
Of course.
Thanks to Warner Brothers as well. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Good to know that I'm still allowed into your screenings after what I said about Oppenheimer and the Barbie film. But make sure you search for Richie Driss on all social medias as well, man.
Yeah, please.
We're How to Kill an Hour, and I'm Marcus Bronzy. I won't spell it this time. Big up.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.